be here. What a great day to worship together. Good to see you. Some of you I haven't seen in a while. Some of you I've never seen before, but I've met you today. Hey, Luke. So great to be here today. We're going to ask a question today. Who's in charge? I'd say, after singing that song, I'm going to say, the great I am.
Amen.
King of majesty. The great I am. He's in charge. And we've been studying the book of Genesis, and we're kind of coming to the end. As a matter of fact, who knows what might happen next week? We might slip over into the book of Exodus coming next. But today we're in chapter 50, the last chapter of Genesis. We're asking this question, who's in charge? Who's in charge? Later we're going to sing these lyrics from Life's First Cry to Final Death, Jesus Commands My Destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. In some ways, that is the story of Joseph summed up right there. You know, Joseph and the brothers. Joseph and the brothers who sold him, and then he became a slave. He went to prison. He rose to power. Then he saved his brothers, and he forgave his brothers. And then his dad comes and joins them in Egypt. Then his dad dies, and they take him to bury his dad. And the brothers are afraid when the dad dies, because they say, what if Joseph holds a grudge? And then they said to Joseph, hey, Joe, Dad said be nice to us. He wrote a note. Be nice to us. I know we were mean to you, but you should be nice to us. And when he got the message, Dad said be nice to us. Oh, Joseph wept. Because the brothers didn't get it. The brothers don't trust him. So we're going to look at these three verses today. Joseph's response to the brothers and the message that they said their dad had given him. Chapter 50 of Genesis, verse 19, 20, and 21. Let's pray first. God, we come before you. You are the great I am. You're the God Almighty. Our lives are in your hands, and so is the lives of every human who's ever lived. And Father, we've had tough times, and yet you've always been there for us. We've had good times, and you've been the one who's blessed us with those good times. And so today we ask for a message from you as we read your word and come to understand who you are and who we are. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we begin, and we're going to hit these three verses, and in the three verses, we're going to read them, and we're going to make some points on each verse. Okay, you ready to go? If you have a Bible, that's okay, but if you don't, I'll read you the verses, and some of them might be on the screen. But these are the three points we're going to make. Don't sit on God's throne. Do take God's view. And three is imitate God's love. We're going to make those three points, one in each verse. And so the first verse is chapter 50, verse 19. Now remember, Joseph has just gotten this message from his brothers, and his brothers say, Dad said be nice to us. And he wept because they were still not getting it. That he had done everything he could for them. He'd set them up. He'd given them land. He'd given them money. He'd given them food. He said, I'll take care of you forever. I mean, he loves these guys, even though what they had done. And he's forgiven these guys. But they're nervous because they know they've done something wrong. And if he thought like they did, they'd be in trouble. So these are the points we're going to make, though. And so the first one is, don't attempt to sit on God's throne. Don't think that you're in charge. You know, who is the great I am? You. No. You know, who sits on God's throne? The great I am. Who is worthy? Me? No. None beside you. God Almighty. The great I am. So I'm not going to sit on God's throne. And so the way Joseph says it, Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Now, they might think so because when Joseph went to Egypt, he was in a powerful man's house, Potiphar, and Potiphar put him in charge of his whole house. Then he went to prison, and the prison warden put him in charge of the whole prison. And then he got out of prison, and he went to Pharaoh's court, and Pharaoh put him in charge of the whole land. So it seems like Joseph might be in charge, but what Joseph is saying here is, am I in the place of God? I'm not God. I am not going to judge you. Why are you thinking? So there's three things that I want us to think about as we consider what it might look like to try and take God's place, which I would say sometimes we do this. We attempt to sit on God's throne. Don't do that, okay? It's okay to sit in Steve Barnett's chair in the back corner.
Come on.
Actually, it may not be. But for sure, don't sit on God's throne. That's not where we sit. That means we'd be in charge. So here's the three things. Number one, when you attempt to sit in God's throne, you assume that you can be your own moral authority. So what do I mean by that? I mean that selfish humanity, and that includes all of us. Now then, you know, if I was going to say one, two, three, point to the most selfish person in the room, okay, we might all point together at, no, we wouldn't. We're all selfish. We're human beings, right? And that's what's happened to us. And what we've done is, because we're that way, we often choose our own moral path. Meaning, we go with our gut. We decide what's right for me. And we hear this phrase, hey, you do what's right for you, I'll do what's right for me. You know? As if we are the ones who are deciding what's right and wrong. We're choosing our own moral path. This is what happened to Eve at the very first of this story. The serpent says, hey, you can do whatever you want to do. Didn't God say? And she says, yeah, but didn't God say, so he said you couldn't do this, so obviously God must not be on your side because you can do whatever you want to do. Go ahead. Do what you want to do. You can become your own God. Or for us today, say, you know, this just feels right. I think I'll do it. Because you know what? It feels right. Whoa! I know a lot of things that feel right that are so wrong. Right? I mean, how many bowls of ice cream can you eat before you explode? Well, you know, it felt right at the moment, but no, not so much. Or we embrace the values of our culture. And everything around us is telling us what's right. But it comes down to this. Am I going to do things my way or God's way? Can I assume that I'm my own moral authority, or will I submit to the great I am? Well, one of the things, do I even know God's way? If I wanted to say, I'm going to follow God, do I know his way? Well, it might be first that we try to find that out. But second thing that happens when we try to sit in God's chair, we become excessive worriers. As if you know what's best for yourself and you don't think God's going to handle it well. This happens especially when we worry about what we don't have. Like, I don't have enough, fill in the blank. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough stuff. I don't have a good enough job. I don't have good enough health. I'm just not satisfied with life. I don't like it, and God needs to do better. But we're worrying. We're worrying about all of these things. And so here's the thing. God is promising to give you what you need. Okay, everybody knows what's coming next, right? But he's not necessarily promising to give you what you want. And especially, he's not promising to give it to you right now. But most of us want, I want this, and I want it now. And if we don't get it, we begin to worry. So we ask, I want to ask, am I putting myself in the place of God? Do I worry when I don't get what I want when I want it? And the third thing is when you hold on to a grudge. So here's the thing about holding on to a grudge. This is what the brothers, they assumed this. That Hey, that if it was me, I'd hold a grudge. If I, what I did to my brother, he had done to me, I'd kill him. So here's this thing about holding a grudge. When you hold a grudge, that resentment you feel for the person who's wronged you or is wronged to the universe, you know, just mad because they've done wrong. They voted for the wrong person. They cut me off in traffic. They just done wrong. They wronged me. They said bad things about me. And whatever it is. But when you begin to resent another person and you allow that resentment, it reveals that you want to do God's job, because God has said he's going to take care of the wrongdoers. He has not put any of you in charge of that. He's not put me in charge. He said, I will repay. He says, what God says for us to do is forgive. And then he says, he will take care of the evil. When you focus on getting even, what happens is that your thoughts, and you've ever been, done this where you think, somebody's wronged me, I'm going to get even. I'm going to get even with them. Even if my getting even with them might, I want to make them look bad. I don't know. I want to tell them off. And when you focus on getting even, what you're focusing on is doing an evil deed. And as you're focused on doing evil deeds, your heart changes. You become this different kind of bitter, kind of vengeful person. And so Joseph asked the brothers, am I in God's place? No, I'm not holding a grudge. I'm not the one who's going to repay you. I'm going to be kind because God's told me to be kind. He's told me to forgive. And so that's what I'm going to do. The second thing is verse 20. And so in verse 20, he says to the brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. Woo! What a perspective. And so this is all about perspective, taking God's view. The event happened. The brothers threw him in the hole. The brothers sold him into slavery. The brothers did the evil deed. There's no doubt about that. Guilty. They're guilty. But from the perspective, Joseph takes God's view that what happened here really turned out for the saving of many lives. He's taking God's view. This is the way God intended this. And so, a couple of points about taking God's view. Number one is this. God is good, you say it back,
all the time.
God is good. Now we say that kind of, you know, okay, but true. I want you to think of the truth of this matter. Joseph, well, let me ask this question. Was God good when Joseph was in prison?
Yes.
Same God. But here's the way, maybe the wrong view, not God's view, the wrong view would be this. When life is good, God is good.
Yeah.
Woo! God is good. Yeah. When things are going good. And when life is bad, God is bad, or actually, more likely, no, there is no God. I don't believe in God. You know why? Because bad things happen. That's the wrong perspective. Joseph's perspective, taking God's view, God is good
all
the time. The second thing is, life is hard, but God is good. I mean, life is hard. It's always going to be hard. And some of us have had an easier life than others. And some of us have had a hard life, but I dare say I could find people in the world who had harder life than any of the hardest of ours. Okay? But that's not even the point. The point is, even the best of us have, those who have the easiest life, still have hard things happen to us. And in those hard times, well, here's the way it is in Genesis, in the book of Genesis. Joseph was a slave. And in Genesis 39, it says, and God was with him. He was a slave. God was with him. And then he went to prison. And in Genesis it says, even in prison, God was with him. Life is hard. God is good. And God is at work. The final thing is, in all things, God works for good, even in bad things. This is, you know, we hear Romans 8 in the background, right? In everything, God is working. He's working for the good of those who love him, right? Everything. I go to this, I want to say these two statements and then tell you the story. First, God can redeem the evil done to us. People who have hurt you, things that have gone wrong for you, God can turn it into good. That's what he did in the story of Joseph. God can also redeem the evil that you have done or that I have done. God can take the mistake, the rebellion, the sin in my life, and he can turn that into good also. So I go to this Bible study in Abilene on Wednesdays at noon at a pizza place that had given us a room. And I've been going there a little over a year and a half. And it started out with four or five guys, and now there's like 30 or 50 to 50 every week. And it's a very unique, for me, environment. The leader of the group is a car salesman who dropped out of high school, got his GED later, and has done pretty well in life. He studied the Bible. He's become a Bible scholar. You know how? By studying it. Well, who knew? And then he began to invite people, and they began to invite other people. And there's, these people are not like most of the people I've hung out with at ACU most of my life. These guys are, most of them don't have college degrees. Most of them have blue-collar jobs. But a large group of them have the same kind of pattern. They went into the Army. These are guys who are now in their 30s, usually. Maybe some a little older, some a little younger. They went into the Army. They went to war in Afghanistan or Iraq. And they got hooked on drugs. Both cocaine, but mostly meth. They came home, got out of the Army. They're still addicts at home. They're also experienced PTSD. And then they break the law in a variety of ways. And I've heard these guys tell their own personal testimonies for the last year and a half. And then they go to prison. And you know what happens in prison? They meet Jesus in prison. And they come out of prison as Christians who want to share Jesus with other people. Thus, the growth of the Bible study. God redeeming evil that happened to them and evil that they did. Lots of broken families. Lots of restraining orders from their wives. Lots of trouble, still working to get jobs. But Jesus is working, even in this trouble. Even in this trouble, Jesus is working. And then, besides taking God's view, the third verse, verse 50, chapter 50, verse 21, is this. Imitate God's love. Joseph says to his brothers, I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph is going to love his brothers like God loves us, like God loves humans. And in this, he's going to do two or three different things. First of all, he's going to love them in action. Love is something you do, right? Love is not just some words you say. It's more than maybe saying, I love you, but that counts too. So you can say that to me anytime. But Joseph says, I'm going to provide for you and I'm going to provide for your children. He's going to give them jobs. He's going to give them land to grow, to be shepherds on. And very importantly, they had to be shepherds so that you get this land because Egyptians hated shepherds, so that was going to kind of spare them some of the cultural warfare that was going to go on between Jews and Egyptians. But Joseph says, I'm going to take care of you. Love is something that you can see in action. So I love this verse in 1 John, 1 John 3:17. If any one of you has material possessions, Joseph did. Hey, so do we. Amen?
Amen.
And sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in you? I mean, if you have God's love in you, and you've got stuff, and you see someone who needs stuff, you're going to share your stuff. Love is something you do. Bob Goff wrote a book called Love Does. And really what it is, it's a book with lots of examples of this in action, of how what this looks like in today's world, of love in action. Because love isn't something we just talk about. It's something you do. And this is what Joseph did. He said, I'm going to provide for you and your children. So we've got blessings, and we should use the blessings God has given us to bless others, and especially not just the people who deserve it. Okay, not just the people who deserve it, because, hey, who deserves it? Relatively speaking, none of us, or maybe all of us, because I can always find somebody to compare myself to that, I'm a little better than them, but no, not really. None of us deserve God's love. The brothers didn't deserve Joseph's love. Love doesn't take account of, well, do you deserve it? No, I'm going to give you this. Even though maybe you might even, if I'm going to give you something, material possession, right? The material possession. What if you misuse the material blessing I give you? Is that something we should consider? No. Joseph said, I'm going to give you this land. You might be terrible on this land. I'm giving you this land. That's how God works with us. I'm going to read this. I read this somewhere in my notes. You are not forgiving or kind or generous because the other person deserves your forgiveness or kindness or generosity. I'm going to read that again. You are not forgiving or kind or generous because the other person deserves your forgiveness or kindness or generosity, but because your identity as a child of God compels you. This is who you are. You are a forgiving person. You are, because you're a child of God. And he says, this is who I want you to be. Like me, I want you to be a forgiver. I want you to be someone who's kind. I want you to be someone who's generous. And if it's not who we are, then it's who we're becoming. As I was reminded earlier this week, sometimes we're a work in progress in all of these areas. I wish I was more kind sometimes. I definitely wish I was more generous. I'm a work in progress. And finally, we love others because we were loved by God. He loved us first. Same with Joseph. Everything that Joseph had, he had it as a gift of God. First of all, he had this gift of interpreting dreams. Where did that come from? Okay, this is an easy. I'm going to ask the question, and you're going to tell the answer. Where did Joseph get the gift of interpreting dreams from?
God.
Whom? God. And so he got this gift, and then he has all this wealth. And where did that come from? It came from God. Everything he had came from God. Joseph was able to give because Joseph had received. Hey, how about you? The things you have, they're gifts of God. The life you have, the time you have, the things you have, the job, everything, it's a gift of God. So you give because you have received. This is who you are. Again, from 1 John. These chapters in 1 John just weave this thought. This whole thought through them, that God is love, and because God is love and loved us first, we love others, and we do that by sharing our stuff. So here's how it ends in verse chapter 4. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we'll have confidence on the day of judgment. I want that, by the way. It says, in the world, we're like Jesus. What? In the world, we're like Jesus. And there's no fear in that love, because perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. That was the brothers, right? They were afraid because they thought they were going to get punished. But see, they didn't get it that Joseph loved them. So the love was made complete. The fear of punishment set aside, and it says, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. But this, we love because he loved us first. Joseph gave because he received. We love others because God loved us. And so, it's this. We know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, so we ought to lay down our lives for others. I want you to think about this idea of laying down your life for others. And I want you to think about this room. Laying down our lives for each other. Laying down our lives for people who have hurt us. Laying down our lives for people who may even now believe that they are our enemies. And they may treat us like enemies. But if someone treats me like an enemy, do I have to treat them like an enemy? This is not the story of Joseph. Joseph, even though his brothers were ready to treat him like enemies, an enemy, he was ready to treat them like friends or like family. This is how we live. We're going to sing these lyrics, and I mentioned them at the beginning. We're going to sing Christ Alone. But when it gets to this part, from life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. Jesus is in charge. He's on the throne. I'm not going to sit in his place. I don't sit in God's place. No. He's in charge. No power of hell, no scheme of man can pluck me from his hand. God is in charge. God is sovereign. Jesus is Lord.